I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 444. I will never talk about it again until the next time.
Your gaming, tech, gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda!
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing quite well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Like, I appreciate when things go very well as opposed to okay or fine.
You know, when things go according to plan, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't go to according to plan, it's a shitty thing.
I agree.
It's kind of funny how that works out.
Yeah, I know. It's like it should be on a motivational poster somewhere.
To plan good.
Things are going good is great. Things that are going okay are bad. Or something like that. I have a way with words.
You definitely so have a verbose. Way with them.
I am deep. With my vernacular.
Really?
Like I just penetrate levels.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you keep going because this is all going to end up on a clip show. So I really don't even have to do anything anymore. I just need to show up.
All the inappropriate things I've ever said on the show.
I just need to make.
Pretty much every episode of every show we've ever done.
Pretty much, yeah. I just need to make you show up and hit record, and I just need to sit back and watch the magic happen.
Panda, just tell me about your life. And then you just hear all the most insane, perverse, outlandish things that just come out of my mouth as if I'm just breathing air.
Yep.
Like, it's the most natural state for me.
And then, there it is. So, that.
I get to wrap in my little cocoon world and say whatever I want, and no one could touch me because...
Except everybody on the internet, because we allow comments on all of our posts.
Yeah, but I don't
And
get,
we ask
don't
people to email
hate.
Us.
People don't hate on me very much about
this
the things that I say.
This is true.
And I think it's because they realize not to take me seriously, even when I'm begging for people to take me seriously.
I feel like it's because there's just a lot of just shaking heads and giggling. I feel like that's what happens a lot of times when people listen to our podcast. And you know what? That's okay. Because we don't take ourselves too seriously. We're not that kind of podcast.
No.
We just like to have a...
I take myself too seriously away from the microphone. So when you give me a reason to spout out my beliefs, that's when I'm just going to be like, fuck that shit.
No.
I've got 40 minutes. And
basically, when I give you the ability to be funny, it just happens.
I'm just innately funny. It is just in my genetic code somewhere.
You do give people the gigglers when you allow yourself to do that, which is a good thing. So let's commence. Oh, wait. I just remembered what you're talking about at first. So I was about to say, let's commence to making the gigglers. And then...
No. I would have stopped and be like, well, actually, I have something kind of serious to talk about, so I will not be on my clown shoes just yet.
Yeah, no giggles just yet.
But on July 11th, Satoru Iwata from Nintendo passed away from cancer, and it was a big shock and really kind of sent this ripple effect through the gaming community, because most, if not all of the people that I know personally have had a strong connection to the gaming world via the Nintendo. I mean, of course there was the Commodore and those other ones way before the Nintendo.
There was the Commodore. Those other things.
Those other ones that I was not around for, but
were around for them.
I didn't have thought yet. I was shitting in my pants.
Yeah, having lots of thoughts about shitting your pants.
I was just like, baby face. Oh, I made a poo-poo. And, like, there were games. But I was not privy to experiencing those. I didn't really start playing games, as you know, really until the Nintendo.
No, you were you didn't actually play the Nintendo. You played the Super NES.
No, I remember playing some of Mario 3 with you because that was the only Mario you'd let me play. And then I would sneak Mario 2, and then I was like, this doesn't feel like the awesome game that I played in Mario 3, which
Amanda, the first system that you played, that you actually put your hands on, was the SNES.
You it couldn't have been, I played
Hold Duck Hunt. On! Will you wait a minute, please, and thank you? Then, you inherited my Nintendo, and that's why you played Super Mario 3 and Duck Hunt. But the first system that you actually put your hands on, because we played together, was my SNES. And when Mom was like, do you think Amanda can handle, because you were a widow, a system of your own, because you kept trying to sneak into my room and play my system when...
that's what the bullshit was.
Because you wanted to play it when I wasn't around, and I was getting real upset, I was like, yes. So then you got the Nintendo system, and I gave you the Zapper and Duck Hunt, and then we bought Super Mario 3 for you.
Okay.
On that system.
See, I'm glad that there's someone who can help me.
But let me help you get your history straight. The first system you ever put your hands on was an SNES.
Okay. Well, there. See, I'm clarification.
Yeah,
I'm
glad. I was trying to clarify, and you were like, "No, you're wrong," and I'm like, "No."
Checking here.
Actually, you are incorrect.
It's like, you are wrong, sir. I am wrong in every right. Well, anyway.
You're wrong in every right? What the fuck does that even mean?
I am. I'm wrong in every sense of rightness, and that's fine. But really, though, like, I mean, that's where my staple came from. I mean, I dabbled in Sega after that, because then Mom thought it would be a really good idea for us to have our two separate systems with two separate game sets. And
actually, you know, I'm going to correct you again. We had the cabal because we decided, and by we, I mean I decided, that we needed to have the Sega system in the house and not just have Nintendo, because I desperately wanted to pay Altered Beast. So I begged, borrowed, stealed, and basically eventually beat you into asking for a Genesis for your birthday.
Yeah, but there was the Sonic games, which we know how that turned
you
out.
You fell in love with Sonic after you got the system, because originally you wanted to ask for your own Nintendo system, and I was like, no, we really need to do this. There's so many games on this thing, and then we will have all of the systems and all of the games.
All of the games.
And it took me 3 weeks to convince you, and ultimately I had to promise you a bunch of my allowance, to buy you a bunch of candy, to give you pick of whatever toy, because Mom used to take us once a month to Toys R Us to get a toy, and I told you that I would let you pick whatever toy you wanted for my toy and for your toy 1 month if you begged for the Genesis for your birthday, and you got it and got Altered Beast. Hated Altered Beast, so Mom was like, why?
Because people turn from people to animals.
And so Mom was like, why did she ask for this game in the system and she's scared of it? And then we got Sonic as the second game, and then you were like, oh, this is my system. And I was like, rats! It's backfired on me, because my plan was you were going to want the SNES because you loved all the games on it, and I would just end up taking over the Genesis that you didn't like. Right. But no, Sonic happened. And so I never got my hands on the Genesis system again, except for to play
Streets of Rage 2. And
and we played the shit out of that, and you enjoyed it. But then you got Shaq Fu.
Oh, yeah.
And made me play it with you, because you love Shaq Fu for some reason.
Hey, we all make mistakes in life, am I right?
I'm just like, what?
I think you liked the mummy guy.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And you're like, let's play Shaq Fu. And I was like, let's not.
Can we not play Shaq Fu? Can I just watch you play Sonic for 8 hours? It's about the same
time. Yeah, I actually would enjoy that much more than playing Shaq Fu right now.
I liked the backstory about Shaq Fu having to fight in this tournament to save humanity. I enjoyed.
Just call me fact checker this episode, because
if Shaq Fu were to come back into current consoles,
they've talked about it a couple of times.
I would probably buy it.
You know, because Shaq.
Because of Shaq Fu.
No, Shaq Fu. Just say no to Shaq Fu.
But anyway, the fact that my core experience came from the SNES and then the Nintendo, Like, it's always kind of been a steadfast. And I mean, as soon as the Wii even got announced, I remember, and I'm sure my facts are wrong here.
Don't worry, I'll fact check you.
If it's, please do, fact checker. I remember I was in college, and I had come home. It was, I want to say it was near the end of my freshman or sophomore year in college. And I came home, and my mom, our mom, was in the kitchen, and Hot Mess was in our living room, and I didn't know what he was doing. And she was like, oh, you should go check it out. And he was playing with the Wii U. I mean, the Wii. The Nintendo Wii. Because, like, as soon as it got announced, like, it was the revolutionary thing. Like, Ash Mom was excited because she thought she'd be able to play stuff because she had tried to play stuff on my Xbox 360.
Yeah,
she
that got didn't
a little
work.
Heavy on the peripherals. Like, I still have a driving console.
Yeah, because Ash Mom liked driving games. Like, she liked Mario Kart. She just sucked at it, but she liked Mario Kart.
Right. But when she heard about how accessible the console was going to be, she went out of her way and made sure I wasn't home when she did it, but she bought a Wii for all of us to play. And, like, it just brought gaming back home for me that year that we did that. Now, I don't have a Wii U, but you do.
Yep.
And I've played with that. My Biffle has one, and I Splatoon, like, every fucking day now.
Yep.
Like, it's kind of my life now. And, but the games have always been something that have brought people together in our household.
Right.
And Nintendo has always kind of been a foundation for me, particularly, and I mean, obviously, you
Nintendo
had
was a core part of that for our household, for sure.
So when the news came that, you know, he had passed, and I mean, I'm a July baby, and I was quite sad to hear that he went in July. I mean, I was not aware that he had cancer, so I mean, he probably kept a lot of that under wraps. But a lot of people kind of came together to honor his memory. I mean, Splatoon in particular, people were writing all these messages on the MeSpace and the MeVerse. And drawing pictures of him with, you know, all these iconic characters that he was a part of bringing to us as, you know, consumers and stuff. And, like, it's really just kind of sad. Like, sad in a way, like, the way that when Steve Jobs passed, like, there was, like, this eerie silence in memoriam to him.
Because it's a leader of your community, right? You know, there are faces for every platform, and there are the faces that you get to know for most of the dev houses, right? And Iwata was a big face at Nintendo. I think for me, I posted it on social. I can't remember if it was Facebook or Twitter. I'm going to go with Facebook because I tend to be on Facebook more than I am on Twitter. And I had said when he passed that, you know, for me, this is an end of a big era because more so than Reggie Fils-Aimé, Iwata was and Miyamoto are faces of Nintendo to me. You know, every E3 Nintendo presser that I can think of, there's always been some kind of video introduction of some key core things that are Nintendo cornerstones that either Miyamoto presented or Iwata did the video presentation for. And while I never met the man, he's always embodied to me for Nintendo a sense of joy and fun. It was always obvious that Iwata was a gamer and that he appreciated the community, not as just being consumers and dollars, but as being a community of people who are looking for joy and fun and in their entertainment, and video games being part of that entertainment lifestyle for a lot of people, and that it could be a part of the lifestyle for many, many more, as long as there was always a focus of being fun and bright and bringing a sense of wonder and joy. And so it's very sad to find out that someone who's known for that to you, you know, has passed away, because there's that admiration piece that now is gone. You know, a lot of people look up to Reggie. Like, God forbid, but something was to happen to Reggie, we'd be talking about the same thing here, because for a lot of people, Reggie is the face of Nintendo, and, you know, is the hype man, fun guy, glory guy that a lot of people associate with the brand. And so, you know, we knew that Iwata had been in poor health, because he wasn't able to make any videos or attend E3 this year. And I believe that he pulled out of something for the event last year because he wasn't doing so well. And they talked about that he had had a procedure to deal with a bile duct buildup. But it was not known that it was cancerous. And that's because a lot of times, you know, when you have illnesses like that, it takes quite a while before anybody who is at a president, CEO level, especially of a company that is public, to talk about it, because it could, and it many times does, affect the stock when people believe that the leadership at the top is ill, to a place where they probably cannot make sound decisions or do their job. So it wasn't surprising to me that when he passed, that that's when the news came out that it was actually cancer-based complications that took Iwata's life. But it was still, for me, very sad because, again, it's the end of an era for Nintendo. It's not the end of Nintendo. There are a lot of great leaders and great leadership within the company. Nintendo is doing very well and is very strong with the stable of games that they have. You know, Splatoon has been doing phenomenally well for them, as have a multitude of other Mario and key character-based games that have come out and will continue to come out, as well as the Amiibo pieces. So, you know, they're a strong foundation, but it was definitely a very, very sad day. And at the same time, also a very heartwarming day, because social just filled with stories of the man and outpourings of people paying their condolences in ways that range from just simple statements of saying thank you and offering condolences and wishes for him to rest in peace, to people who immortalized him. You know, I saw a bunch of different images, and one really spoke to me, and so we changed it as our cover on our Facebook page of the key core Nintendo characters in a hug.
Yeah, I saw that. Iwata. I saw when we did that.
And I thought that was, you know, a really, really wonderful statement piece, because it should be about joy and thank you and not pure sadness, because the man did a lot of really great work at Nintendo during his time there. And for being the first person outside of the family to head up Nintendo, was able to accomplish a great deal. So we say thank you, because Nintendo is key in our becoming massive video game fans, because while Panda doesn't remember, I sure do. We had Intellivisions and ColecoVision.
Nope, don't remember that.
We never had a Commodore 64. We didn't have it like that before we got our Nintendo and SNES and GameCubes and N64. Oh, GameCube. Which you got the N64.
I did. I was crazy about GameCube. Mario 64.
Yeah, we tried to talk Mom into a TurboGrafx-16. That didn't work. Then we tried talking her into a Jaguar system. That really didn't work. We didn't even bring up the Neo Geo, because that was not going to happen. Because a lot of people forget that the Neo Geo system came out right around the 64-bit game craze. And the Neo Geo was a ridiculous system that, like, only the super rich kids had, because that system came out and it was like $7.99 to start.
Yikes!
Back in the day. Well, and it was like nobody's going to pay that kind of money for a gaming system.
Somebody did.
Okay. Just saying.
But yeah, so you're absolutely right. So this is our thanks to him and his legacy, which obviously hopefully people at Nintendo will continue to take pages out of his life book and remember to bring that.
I think so. Closeness, I think, and as bond. Long as you have Reggie and you have Miyamoto there, that there will always be that.
So,
in some way, shape, or form at the top.
So now, away from the seriousness, because I wanted to start off on a tender note, now I'm going to talk about something that makes me mad.
Oh.
I'm going to go from tender. Serious I'm to still... mad to happy. So, like, there's a method to my methodness.
You mean madness?
There is a method to my madness. There is an order to my...
Your chaos? Yes. I don't think so.
Oh, there is.
I think you want to believe there's order to your chaos. Oh, no, there
is. Because if I didn't have any type of structure in my chaos, I would just be the Joker. Nuts. I would. Don't even get me started on Arkham Knight. Don't. We finished it. And just don't. Anyway, moving right along. So, a prototype bundle was released for the PS4 and Xbox.
Prototype of what?
Like the game prototype. And Prototype 2. They made HD remakes, and they brought them over to the current console.
Am I going to get excited? Because you know how much I like Prototype 2. I just told you,
I'm going to talk to you about something that's going to make me mad.
Oh, damn.
So, I have a hard time with the concept of HD remake because Prototype and Prototype 2 have not gotten any type of res up boost. They are actually pretty shoddy, and it's just really kind of clunky. It has a lot of frame rate issues. It's been giving people a lot of problems, and the fact that they stamped $50 to buy it, it has people in a big, big tizzy.
Wait. So let's take a step back here. So I just want to make sure that we're clear. $50 bundle, which gives you... $50
bundle for Prototype and Prototype 2.
So basically each game is $25.
Yep.
Supposedly they were upscaled for HD for the current consoles.
Yes.
Because you could only play those games on previous consoles. They didn't exist. Paid $25 for an up-res available on current-gen game. They didn't add any new levels or anything like that. They just up-resed it and released it on the new platform. And it has some frame rate issues, and people are pissed for a $25 game.
Now, mind you, it is running. Like, these are the facts. So, the full HD rendering, it in the truest statement, it does run at 1080p. It does do that. The sound effects apparently are supposed to be impressive, and the original textures and stuff were like upscaled, but they don't look blown out, I guess, in the resolution. So if say you're doing this on your computer and like you have it at 720, and you want your wallpaper to match, and you switch it, it like stretches it out, and you lose some of that. What's the word I want to use?
I don't know, but stop like, smacking your desk.
I was tapping my feet. It's distorted somewhat because you're stretching something that is supposed to fit 1070 into, 720 into 1080. So, like, the resolution is a little, you could definitely tell something is wrong. And it looks a little off and a little fuzzy. I'll leave it at that. It looks kind of fuzzy. And it just.
So, this is a PC bundle.
Well, there's some people bought the bundle as from PC, but they did make ports to the consoles. But the PC port, I think, is better than the console port. So people who bought the console ports are in uproar over it, actually. But it doesn't look very clean.
So which one were you messing with?
I went and got the PS4 one.
And on your PS4.
It doesn't look, it's really chunky. I don't particularly care for it. I started playing it and I'm like, this kind of hurts. And I'm a fan of Prototype 1 far more than Prototype 2.
But you didn't finish Prototype 2.
I didn't. I got all
three. I'll tell you right now, if you got past the tank, you actually would have really liked Prototype.
I couldn't. Like, I just kept dying and I started getting rage poops. No, I kid you not. Like, Prototype 1, and it took me a bit because I'm...
Prototype made me angrily shit.
Prototype. I got a Prototype from a fan of our show who we care for dearly.
Yes.
Because I had brought up on a show several months after that, oh, no, I don't got money like that, so I'm not going to play it. And then, boom, a present shows up, and now I'm like, I have to eat crow, which I then did, and I loved it.
And by eating crow, it means I got Infamous
in that gift, and I liked both of them equally. And I know that I had talked about comparing the two games because they both kind of came out with the same kind of premise and stuff. And I blew through Prototype faster than Infamous. And then Prototype 2 came out a little bit later, and I got maybe, I want to say, a quarter of the way through. Because at one point, you are taking on this tank or your attempt, in my case, I was attempting to take out this tank, and this tank was just, you know, coming up Brown Town and just making me like a puppet, and everyone was laughing at me, and like I just couldn't get past.
Who was laughing at you? You show me on the dolly where they hurt
the
you.
The people in my mind were like, haha, you're stupid. You can't figure
this thing out. In your mind.
Yeah, please and continue. They're mean. The people in my mind are quite mean sometimes when I don't rise to the standard I've given myself, which, I mean, I could lower the standard a you bit, think? But I don't. Maybe. So then I get mad, and the voices start personifying. So
you set a standard for yourself that you can't achieve, and then you get mad at yourself because you can't achieve it.
Yes.
So then the people in your head talk about you.
They talk shit about me to right. me.
Right. I just want you to take in everything that you just said.
I sound like I'm crazy.
Yep.
And I probably am.
Right. But continue. Anyway,
so going back to this bundle, if this was something you were considering about purchasing for either your Xbone or your PS4, because not too many of us have held on to all the things from our 360s and our PS4.
I have every game that I've ever owned, with the exception of the ones that I took back.
Well, some people turn their skin. I know you're like a gamer hoarder. Here's the thing.
I'm not a hoarder, okay? But I held on to my games because I couldn't quite get over not playing a big chunk of them, because my game collection, it's not massive, but it's really, really solid. And I just wasn't ready to let it go, and I'm glad that I didn't, because of the backwards compatibility stuff.
Yep, that's coming. Yeah.
Not coming. Well, I'm in the preview program, so I have it.
Well, not all of us got it like you, boo.
Well, you could be in the preview program if you signed up for it, if you paid attention to E3, because they opened up sign up again for people. Oh. So you could have been in it. And you could have been doing it.
Right. Well, I didn't do it.
Which would then give you the Gears rebooted thing.
I'm glad you were able to do it.
Yeah, but now you're going to have to buy the Gears rebooted thing as opposed to just getting it.
But if you are the type of person who has a setup that allows you to have your retro consoles, and by retro I mean one step away from where we are now. Like, if you still have your PS3,
previous gen,
your 360.
Yeah, let me help you. Previous gen, because retro is definitely your vintage ones. So those are your NES, SNESs, blah blah blah.
Previous gen.
Previous.
You still
gen.
Have them plugged up and they're running.
Gen Prev.
And you really have the itch for Prototype and Prototype 2, then I strongly recommend that you do not put $50 on this HD remaster and just go back to your previous consoles. It generally runs a lot better there, so don't even invest. Don't invest in it. It tastes bad in my mouth just talking about it. It's actually making me start to form rage.
I mean, there's no rage poops. You know,
like, it's gurgling. The anger poop sharks are swimming in my bowels right now.
I can't. How do I even follow that with logic?
Now you're moving to something that makes me happy.
Well, so I want to talk.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because sorry. Thanks.
And then hopefully you bring up something that will make my anger poop sharks go away. But I've talked enough. I need a break.
I can't with your thing. No, I was just saying, there's a very thin line that devs have to walk when porting previous gen games to current systems. And I agree, if you're going to release any game, whether it's bundled or not, you need to be very upfront about what you're getting for what you're paying for. So flag number one to me is if a bundle, a two game bundle, which the games originally by themselves sold for $60, if I'm getting the two together for $50 as a quote unquote up-resed version, that should tell you right off the bat, hey, we very quickly ported this, and it's not rock solid, which is why we're making each of the games half price, and because they probably can't stand on their own by themselves, we're bundling them together. So you get two games for the price of one.
With Final Fantasy X and X-2.
You see what I'm saying?
Granted, but however, that port for the PS4, which I think we're actually getting one for, like I said, for the PS4, because I got my bundle of that game for my PS3, that actually looks really good.
Yes, but we're talking about Square Enix there.
Right. Okay. They're all about making things look good. All
right. Square Enix makes things look really good. How they play, they get a beat, however. They look
really good.
Okay. How it plays, however.
Is like poop.
It's different story.
Poop.
Okay.
Poop.
Oops. Sometimes it's not always the greatest gameplay experience, but it looks gorgeous. Okay. Balance. It's all about balance. So I think that you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt of first, all right, so I'm getting two games for the price of one. These are previous gen games that have been up-res for current consoles. There's probably going to be some bugs right out of the gate, number one, especially since each of these games are in essence $25 bargain bin games now. So I think you kind of have to take it with that as a grain of salt and a filter. But it should absolutely be up to par. You shouldn't release something and say that it is a HD remake if it doesn't really run great frame rate the entire time. Because comparatively, any other game on that console is going to look better, run better, and therefore make everyone go, oh, this is a piece of shit because this is a current console HD remake, and look at my normal game for this platform, which runs 10 times better, looks 10 times better, and, oh, by the way, costs twice as much. Like, so I think you have to be kind of a little bit easier on it, but I do agree that if you're porting something and you're calling it an HD remake, that it needs to run well in true HD, which true HD is really only 720, so you don't have to make it great in 1080p, but if you're promising great 1080p experience, you better deliver on it.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Not that that will make me rage poop.
Oh, well, it
because yeah. I don't shit out of anger.
I do.
I shit
sometimes in my, when I'm really angry, I let loose on the porcelain throne, and it does not like it.
I can't follow.
Okay.
As the kids say, I can't even, so.
You can only odd right now?
I can only odd right now, because this entire conversation at this point is so odd, I can't even deal. So.
Okay.
Well, next topic. Next topic. What else do you want to talk about, Panda? Because we've now gone to angry, so now we're supposed to go to happy, right?
That's right. So, we know that me,
Panda, you
have a thing for a little anime series / light novel / not really light novel game called Higurashi no Nokoroni.
Oh my god, if I had a dollar for every time you've talked about this game.
First I talked about the anime series, and then it's OVA, and then it's other season, then it's game, because then I went and played it, and then...
Then you played the pigeon game.
Soon after I played that, I heard of the second addition to the franchise called Umineko, When They Cry, which is, you know, seagulls, when the seagulls cry, and I watched those OVAs, because they never actually... We never got an official release here in America, but, you know, when you have the internet and a lot of time, you figure out shit. And I was told by a friend of mine, Eric over from RP Grinders, that there was an announcement made by a manga gamer that it was going to be released. He was going to do a better translated version of it that was going to be released on Steam. Now, when I heard this, and I heard this via Twitter, which I'm not...
Did your ovaries drop?
They're kind of suspended anyway in disbelief most of the time. But I don't usually check my Twitter. So, like, usually when I get a bloop for it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my Twitter. I'll check it later. But usually he doesn't directly message me. So when it happens, I was like, oh, shit, something must be down. So when I saw this announcement, I literally shit the Great Wall of
China. You know, a lot of things make you shit. Have you consulted a physician? Because I just think you just have a lot of fiber in your diet.
I have too much fiber, and I just release too much. But when this news came out, I went ape nuts. I did my super happy dance. I, like, spun around in circles, and then I had to contemplate what I had just done. Because, I mean, I had found a version, a fan version of Umineko two years ago. Which, I got the first five chapters, because this light novel game is extensive. There are, like, 12 of these chapters, and not all of them include places where you have to interact with something. A lot of it is just you reading and then your mind coming up with the scenarios that will eventually lead to a conclusion. But it's kind of like that anime series that I like, the Kendeji Case Files, where in the episodes, like in the first one, because they usually give you three to figure out what's going on, is they set you up, the issue happens, and then the resolution in the third episode. So by the first two, you're kind of trying to formulate how things went down, kind of like CSI. But with this updated release, they got help from Witch Hunt, so we're getting some new sprite art. We're getting the full original soundtrack, and I think the release will also include the option for you to use old or the new sprites. So if you are a true nostalgic lover of this genre, the way it was initially, you don't have to invest in the newness. You can go back to the old and busted if that's what you like. And I like that option of like being able to do one or the other. I think it was one of the things that I liked about the Master Chief Collection is that they gave you the ability to see what the area looked like new versus old. And you could switch in between the two. Granted, that did kind of make me nauseous and I did get sick the first time I tried it. But I appreciated that they gave the fans who appreciated it in its original form the option to, you know, invest in the original form and not have to, you know, sell out to what they were, you know, pitching to you. So if you are absolutely done with hearing me talk about this series and love on this series, then check your Steam because it's coming and give this a fucking shot. And then I will shut my mouth. You'll never hear me talk about it except when I buy it on Steam and I play it and then I talk about it on the show. But after that, you will never hear me talk about this franchise unless they release another game ever again.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you promise?
I promise.
Liar. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But that made me super ultra happy. And actually, now that I've talked about it, my poo sharks went away. I don't feel the pain of
rage. We're doing a lot of talking about your poo today.
I like to be honest with our listeners. And sometimes they like to talk to me about poop and shit in their lives. And I don't talk enough about poop and shit in my life. So I'm just coming from a place of wanting to be balanced. Like a good balanced breakfast.
Oh my god.
Oh shit.
Oh.
But that's all the stuff.
This show's going to hell in a handbasket.
I'm already in the handbasket, slowly descending down into the flames. But I'm all done with everything I wanted to talk about this week. So, sis.
Yes.
What do you have to talk about today?
Well, I have some anime to talk about. Hopefully we'll have more geeky nerdery to talk about next week with you. But I've been watching a chunk of anime while basically playing Destiny, trying to get my characters to 34. So I can rest comfortably on my laurels until September when Taken King comes out.
You know, so, can we do Prison of Elders again? Is that like a weekly thing?
Yeah. Well, no. No.
Well, we can't do it on 34. I ain't that powerful yet. Damn.
Well, we can do 32 so you can actually get to 33. Oh, okay. Which if you get to 33, then you could do 34.
Okay.
So, yes. Okay. But you can do Prison of Elders. Unlike the weekly, you can do Prison of Elders as many times as you want, as long as you have a treasure key, because that's really where the worth comes in.
Right.
Being able to open the Back Queen's chest. Right. But the Back Queen's chest really is especially good when you've opened it once, when you haven't opened it twice, on the same level. So, you kind of want to save your keys for opening new chests.
Right.
But you can key it all up. So, like, all right, real quick on the Destiny tip. What I do is I have three characters right now.
I only have one.
And all of my characters are at 32, so they can all run it. And they can all do Queen's bounties. So I have them all do the bounties so they each get a key. So it gives me three keys, and then I just open chests with one character.
Okay.
Over and over and over and over again.
That's actually kind of smart.
And so now typically what that does is gives me the opportunity to get armor and weapons for one character. So I've been focused on opening the chest with whatever character wasn't to 34 yet. So now I'm about to switch because I just got my hunter to 34 because of gear that I got there. So I'm probably going to keep running with my hunter to get etheric light that I can pass to my warlock and to my titan to get them up so that they're ready to run. Prison of Elders. But I love Prison of Elders. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I'll tell you, you run Prison of Elders once and then you're like, Nightfall ain't shit. Let's do this. Just saying.
Okay. Just saying. It has been said.
Yeah.
And noted.
Yeah, because there's times when you jump into the Nightfall and you're like, why is this so difficult? Do a PoE run. Doesn't matter if it's on 28 or 32. When you finish it, you'll jump into the Nightfall and be like, psh, this is so easy. I don't even understand why we're wasting time here. Boing, 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 boing. But I will say I am a little disappointed that they're nerfing the Gallahorn. And they're nerfing...
After you worked so hard to get it.
Yes. And they've only sold the Gallahorn once. The first week that it was, that the game came out, they sold the Gallahorn. And they haven't sold... Xur has not sold it again since. So it was like the most difficult fucking weapon to get your hands on. And now they're nerfing it. Now, part of what the Bungie team has said is that because it basically became like the floor cleaner in PvP, which they didn't want it to be, because basically there's no retort against a Gallahorn. So as soon as heavy drops in PvP, if somebody has a Gallahorn, you're screwed. Just like if somebody has an OP shotgun.
Yep.
In PvP.
Shotgun to the face.
You're screwed. So they're nerfing those weapons a bit. As far as how quickly they can reload and how powerful they are as far as what their base damage starts at. But they are introducing a whole new set of new weapons that everybody will covet and will need to work to get, which I think is pretty cool. They are nerfing Thorn, though, and they are nerfing Hawkmoon, so...
No. Wait, they're what? I just got Hawkmoon.
Yeah, they're not nerfing it yet, but they will be. So when Taken King comes out, expect that they're going to be nerfed. So level them now, enjoy them now, use your Hawkmoon to your PvP darndest. They'll still be fine in PvE, but PvP is where they're looking to put more balance, which is where the nerfing comes into play. But on the flip side of that, auto rifles are going to get more powerful again. So their impact's going to be down, but they're going to be more powerful. So, for those people who have those Suras regimes, and those really, really nice auto rifles that do that nice 365 damage, don't give them up just yet. And don't drop your purples, people, because you're going to be able to do some really cool things with them in Taken King. So, I wouldn't drop them. What I would recommend for you, in all honesty, Panda, is I would start, as you start getting new gear, like extra purples and exotics for your warlock, I'd put that shit in a vault, and I'd make a new character, because you can run up to 20 really quickly, and then once you drop that new gear, that 20 very quickly turns into a level 30, 32 character. So...
But If you want to run all warlocks,
you could do that. If you don't want to run all warlocks, you know, weapons work for anybody. So you can be storing those weapons for somebody else. But
right. Because
that's how I did my Titan. Like, as soon as I got exotic Titan helmet, I was like, that's it. I'm making a Titan because I know I'm going to get more Titan drops. And sure enough, I did. And so once I did the runs with somebody escorting me through, because this is the fast way that you can level, is pair with somebody who's, like, you know, over level 20 and start your low-level character and run with them and run all of the missions at the one level higher. Because whenever you jump into missions, even at your lowest level when you're like a 5, you can start missions at like 7 or 8. And it'll be like, it's very, very hard, just like the weekly. So if you have somebody with you that's a 20 or better running that with you, you'll get better loot and more XP. So you'll level faster. So you can get to 20 before you even finish the end missions of the game. And then if you have gear, drop that gear on and poof. You're a 30-something or other without even touching a raid or finishing the game.
Ooh.
So when you're ready to make that hunter, let me know. I'll help you do the runs.
Okay.
But you can level pretty quickly. I know people that have gotten a brand new character to 20 within a day.
Oh, damn.
Doing those runs.
Damn, son.
So there's that. And because you can share money between all the characters that you have, it's not like you have to build up new bank with them.
True that.
So
Thank God for that.
You can go into the Vanguard Armory and buy Vanguard stuff for your lower characters so that when they hit 10, you'd be like, boom, now you're 16. Okay, now let's finish these runs, which is what I did. So I had my Hunter buy Vanguard stuff for my Warlock. So my Warlock hit 10. I was like, boom, here you go. Now you're 16. All right, let's keep running. So there's always ways to work the system. So hey, boom, there's the Destiny talk. It's out of the way. Now let's talk anime, because I've been watching a lot of anime. Because I've mostly been playing Destiny and Batman when I am playing games. I know there are a lot more games out there, guys, but I'm really having a good time running around in Destiny, taking some friends around who just got the game. It's been a really fun experience for me. I'm not finishing Bloodborne. It's just not happening.
That's okay.
You know, it's just not. I did finish The Order. It was really good. I enjoyed it tremendously. And surprise, surprise, it took me more than 4 hours to complete the game. So everybody that talks shit about it being the short game, it's not. You can run through it, though, in 12 hours, which is what it took me. But man, oh man, it was really, really fun. So I have completed a couple of games, but right now I'm playing Destiny and I'm playing Batman and I'm enjoying both. So who doesn't enjoy being the Batman? No one. Just look at Ben Affleck. All right. So
with that said, he broke up with Jennifer Garner. They got a divorce.
You know, look,
because he's a workaholic.
Look, it happens, okay? I'll tell you
right
now.
You should never have done Gone Girl.
I'll just tell you right now. It's not about Gone Girl.
I know, but I watched that movie, and that was fucked up.
Yeah, that movie's fucked up. I choose to not watch that movie. I've seen, like, everything wrong with that movie on YouTube, and I was like, yeah, nope.
Did you see the honest trailer for it?
I did not see the honest trailer for it.
That's funny. I suggest you give that a watch.
But I was like, I don't really need to watch this movie. So even though it's on the HBO, I'm like, nah, we're just going to go right past that.
No, you should. It's actually really good.
I'm sure the movie's really good. I'm not watching it.
There's only like one bloody part.
It's not about bloody parts. I like to believe that my marriage is warm and fuzzy and nothing bad will ever happen. And when you watch movies like that, your brain starts thinking, but
it's like he said he couldn't pay rent this month.
But and I'm not letting any entertainment thing cast any kind of aspersions or thoughts onto my happy little rainbow town. So no, not watching the movie. Okay, because you know that happens sometimes. You watch a movie and then your brain starts thinking, "Oh yeah, like that's realistic. Like that shit could really happen."
Man, hey. Like literally, like there's a scene in that movie where the batshit crazy wife lady, like, takes a champagne bottle, right?
Stop. I know what scene you're talking. Stop. We're not that podcast. Stop. I know where you're going. Stop. This is my time to talk, okay. And I'm going to Happy Rainbow Land.
Okay, we're going to Happy Rainbow
Land. All right? We're not going to demented, distorted, what land. No. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. No. All right. My turn to talk. I have the mic of 1,000 truths. Okay. You stop.
I stop.
Since I have only been playing 2 games that I have talked incessantly about forever and a day, and I have talked about Rock Band and Guitar Hero Live from E3, and I've also talked about Disney Infinity from E3, that I thought, hey, here's a chance for me to talk about some anime. Don't worry, I have more E3 things to talk about, because I spent so much time with UB, and I definitely want to talk real in-depth about the Ghost Recon Wildlands game, so know that conversation's coming, as well as a piece on the website. But I want to talk anime today, because I personally haven't talked real in-depth about the stuff from the summer season that I've started watching and what I'm enjoying right now, and I thought this is a really good opportunity to do that. So when I haven't been gaming, I've been getting familiar with the summer season beyond some of the things that bled over from previous season. I think I've talked about the World Trigger anime before, which I was watching from previous season, being really good. But I thought, hey, there's so many new things this summer season. Let me check some of them out. So I want to talk about 2 of them. first, I want to talk about a series that I've been watching called Oharu X Machine Gun. Now, this series, when you first start it, it looks like it's going to be a slice of life series. Yep. Because it starts with this character in high school, and they're definitely your overprotective, very vigilant boy that is very much about honor and justice and being just honorable as a person.
And he happens to be, I think, the student council, like, president. Like, he is, or he's, like, the representative of, like, a class. He's, like, the class rep.
Okay. So, Hotaru, who everybody in the class looks up to and really likes because he stands up for justice and people doing right by other people. And when they don't,
he Hotaru has no problems getting down and dirty and punching your face.
And putting you into place. So if you're a guy and you're picking on a girl because you kind of want to do some sexy time things to her and she says no and you keep going, Hotaru's going to jump up in that and beat that ass.
Beat your shit down.
Hotaru's very, very strong. But it turns out that actually Hotaru is not a boy,
but is a girl.
Even though Hotaru dresses like a boy. And I'm fairly certain most of the people at the school think Hotaru is a boy, but Hotaru is a girl. All right, so let's fast forward a little bit. Basically, one of Hotaru's friends, who is a girl, ends up in a situation where she's not able to do some things with Hotaru, and the way that she phrases it makes it sound like this guy that she was interested in, like, took all of her money. Basically, took her for everything that she was worth and isn't having the...
robbed!
Basically. So Hotaru goes to track this guy down, who's an older guy, who's actually working at a club.
Now, mind you, you haven't said that Hotaru has encountered this guy before already.
Well, no, I hadn't. I was getting there. But
well, because that happens first,
go ahead.
Though.
Go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead. You go ahead, because you're telling the story.
Saying. So Hotaru had his parents at this point, because it hasn't been revealed that she's a girl yet. Her parents are not in Japan, so like she is planning to live on her own and finish out her school year. So you see her going to this apartment complex, and there's this dude talking to another girl at her door, his door, and she's like contemplating whether or not she's just gonna politely ask him to move or whatever, and Hotaru hears him saying really inappropriate things to whoever it is he's talking to and has deemed him a poor character. Like, he's rotten to the core and he's filthy and she wants nothing to do with him. And she pretty much, like, tries to kick his butt to move him out of the door. And through moving him out of the way, a gun falls to the ground, which then freaks her out because he's obviously a bad character because he carries a gun. But he's like, oh, that's mine. And he picks it up and he moves out of the way, and Hotaru then continues on her way. Granted, at this point, we don't know she's a she. Then the encounter with her friend at school happens.
So I was going to set it up that Hotaru goes to track this guy down, tracks the guy down to, in his essence, is a host club. Yep. He's working at this club where all these guys bring various women's fantasies to life. And it's there that Hotaru sees the guy that's taken and robbed his friend and realizes he's already met this person. Yep. See, that's how I was going to do that. But, you know, you jumped in.
But you
to course correct.
You can't call back to that because
yes,
you
I can. It's called a flashback. Everybody does it, Panda.
But the way that the series sets you up is that they want you to know that they've encountered each other and the
that's
gun
the series.
Been.
I'm talking about my experience and how I want to relate it to people. And I don't always have to go linearly.
Fine.
Thank you. My segment, my way. Like Burger King. Dang it. I'm telling the story. But whatever. We'll go linear. Fine. So, the guy is older. Remembers Hotaru from earlier when they met, which we've discussed already. And so some hijinks ensue where Hotaru wants to beat the ever-loving shit out of this person that she has determined is a poor character and really, really awful for taking advantage of a girl. That's one of the things that, like, of all the injustices in the world, when a guy takes advantage of a girl, Hotaru really can't stand it. So, the guy says, hey, we don't have to throw the fisticuffs here. I'm going to issue you a challenge, a gentleman's challenge. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you right now, if you can hit me once with this gun, I'll give your friend her money back, admit that I'm a horrible person, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going to give you a gun full of bullets. And I'm going to have a gun too. And like everybody in the club starts getting real excited because like, ooh, there's about to be a gunfight. It's going to be a war. Like, who are you putting money on? Well, I don't know. This person's at a huge advantage because they have a full clip. So all this is going around. Everyone's starting to watch what's going on. And Hotaru's a little thrown back by it and how casual this guy is of just being okay with having a gun and having a gunfight. And the guy goes, no. They're, you know, like play bullets. They're not real. Okay, so calm down. And I'm just going to have one in mine. And you can do whatever you want, go anywhere you want inside this club. You just have to hit me once. But if you don't, well then, I don't have to give your friend the money back. And you have to do something for me. So this really intense battle happens because Hotaru starts thinking of all the ways that she has to manipulate things in order to try and get to this guy because Hotaru's never used a gun before, so she's not able to dead aim and hit the guy, which he's banking on. And so she's trying to find ways to bring him in, get close, because she realizes, hey, if I can get blunt close, there's no way that I'm going to miss this guy. So a really crazy action scene ensues. It appears that Hotaru's got the upper hand, is able to get blank close by surprising this guy, and pulls the trigger, completely out of bullets, completely loses. But the guy is so impressed by the way that Hotaru handles herself during the fight and how amazing she is actually for never using a gun before, being able to manage and think her way through the problem. And he's like, hey, so that thing that you're going to do for me, you're going to join my fake gun battle club. So this guy actually has another friend and goes into paintball battles, 3-on-3s, and recruits Hotaru into this group. Has one rule about this group, however. Can you guess what the rule is?
You can't fall in love with each other.
No girls.
Oh.
No girls in the group. So Hotaru's like,
oh, right, because at this point, this guy has no idea.
Has no clue
that
Hotaru is in fact a girl. Yeah. So, and they're talking about, you know, the whole group and how it's going to be amazing and all this kind of stuff. And then it's like, yeah, and one of the girls was like, when are you going to let me play anything? And he's like, oh, silly, you know I have that rule that I don't have any girls in my group. And then Hotaru hears it and she's like, geez. I guess now's not the time that I can tell him that I'm actually a girl.
Series is going to be her trying to hide her gender from him.
Yes.
While doing the battle and getting better with that and possibly getting feelings for him. And
yes.
Wanting to expose that she's a girl.
Right.
But can't.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That. So that's what the first episode sets you up for. Second episode takes you into where you actually meet his compatriot and they go into their first battle. And his compatriot basically is almost a shut-in type.
Oh, a hikamori.
Yep. And basically the guy is his only friend. I keep saying the guy because I keep forgetting his name. I want to say that it's Masamune.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Masamune has this other friend who he was basically getting picked on in school, and Masamune came to his defense and became his only friend and has never turned his back on him. So he considers Masamune a friend and only wants Masamune as a friend, period. So he basically sets up Hotaru to get effed in the A during Hotaru's first battle.
Ah.
And Hotaru's like, hey, no, I know that this person's coming to get me and is, like, yelling all the time, checking in to make sure that they're still okay. And Masamune sees the guy leaving the floor. He's like, wait, you told Hotaru to go and do this and go and do that. And he's like, Yeah, I have no intentions of doing that. I told you not to bring anybody else into this thing, but you didn't listen to me. I only need one friend, and that one friend is you. I don't need anybody else. So Hotaru's going to learn the hard way that, you know, people are dicks and people are assholes and you get left behind. And so Masamune's like, okay, I get that you don't want any new friends, but remember what your first battle was like and how intense it can be when you've never been in one of these things before and now you left Hotaru in a situation where it's about to be 3-on-1. And so at this point, like, the guy's like, oh, but Hotaru's already done by now. And Hotaru's not. Like, again, Hotaru, I'm not exactly sure what Hotaru's parents do. I'm going to imagine that they're either, like, in the Secret Service or...
Right, she's highly trained.
There's highly trained acrobatic skills that you don't just get from, like, being she's a kid like a in high school. She's like
Flying Grayson.
So I'm guessing that Hotaru's parents, the reason that they're away is because they're off doing some deadly, like, covert assassin mission.
Probably.
And that's where her sense of justice comes in and why it's totally okay to kind of look like a boy right now.
Right, incognito.
Because you would expect those kinds of actions from a boy, not a girl.
Right.
So anyway, that's my thought there. Because Hotaru is really, really skilled in combat. And so she's been able to hold her own and not actually get hit by any of these guys without support. But it's getting up real close to where that's about to change. And the other guy gets a change of heart and realizes, oh man, it really sucked when I had multiple people on me and I'm now doing to Hotaru what those guys did to me and made me feel horrible as, and Hotaru believed in me, I can't be that douchebag, and steps in. And ultimately, their team ends up winning that battle. They lose 2 less ones because Masamune's like, hey, the debt that you owe me for basically destroying the host club while we were having our little battle, you can pay off by being on my team, and if we go to the championships, I'll wipe out your debt entirely.
Oh, so it's like Orin Host Club, but with guns.
Exactly. And so it's that level of cutesy with some really good action in there, but then it throws on top, again, just like Orin, a host that is of the other sex that's playing this sex. Except Orin, everybody knew.
Well, in the first episode, people were becoming aware that she was a she. Except for Tamaki, who was, like, the last one to figure it out.
Right. But... I
love that series. That's a good
But, like,
series.
Yeah. So, I kind of actually really like it. I think that, you know, it's going to take a few more episodes to see where it goes. If it starts laying on the thick, it's an undercover girl scheme shtick, if you will.
It's a trap.
Yeah. If that starts becoming the real heavy line as opposed to the interactions of the team and hopefully explaining where Hotaru gets all of her skills, if it's less of that and more of the, here's some more sticky situations where, boy oh boy, it's going to be real weird if Masamune finds out right now that Hotaru is a girl, I'm probably going to get turned off from it. But we'll see how that goes.
Sounds fun to me.
So that's one series that I've been watching. Like I said, it's new season. I'm watching it on Crunchyroll, but I do believe that it's also on Hulu, so you can check it out there. The other one that I've been checking out, which is really kind of cool, that I've been enjoying, is one that I didn't actually expect, to be honest. And it's called Roka, R-O-K-K-A. Braves of the Six Flowers. So this one is very much kind of the medieval future mixture genre, very much like Goliath. Yeah, it was one that I told you that you really needed to watch. I watched that actually on Hulu. It was also on Funimation. There was Lord Marksman. That it's also very much like where it's a mixture of magic with a little bit of medieval flair, but also a little bit of future.
I saw this in the lineup on Crunchyroll, and I was debating whether or not I was going to jump into it or not.
You need to jump into it.
Because I was looking off of the cover, what they're presenting as the cover, and I initially got the impression that we have a person, a chosen one, or someone from a different land. So you've kind of got like that Escaflowne type deal. And you have this barrage of the six braves who need to be assembled to help take out this major threat. So it kind of gave me like an Escaflowne Fushigi Yugi type of gathering your heroes to battle the unknown. Kind of in that Sailor Moon vine of, you know, your team, getting your team together, and they each have some type of an ability that could help or hinder depending on what you're doing. And there, I'm sure with a name like Braves of the Six, blah, 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 Six Braves of the Water Maiden or
Braves
whatever,
of the Six Flowers,
that you're probably going to have some romance in there somewhere.
Would you like me to break it down or not?
I bet the six braves all have a name relating to a flower, which somehow relates until their ability.
So do you want me to talk about it, or do you want to cast more aspersions?
Nah, my aspersion's done.
You done with aspersions?
Yeah.
You sure now?
Yep.
Okay. So, basically, in this land, there is a legend that there is an evil god that awakens every so many centuries and will cause ruin to rain down upon the land. There was a warrior that rose up that was able to battle back this evil god and defeat it.
Oh, it's Samurai Jack.
Kind of. Defeat it in a way that it wasn't able to completely expunge it from the world, so that's why it comes back every so
like
often.
Sin from Final Fantasy X.
The warrior, knowing that it was going to come back, passed on her abilities, because it was a woman, and said that there would always rise up whenever this evil would rear its face, six warriors that could embody all the skills needed, the ones that she had, in order to wipe this evil out. And so every time this evil god appears, there are six warriors, and sometimes they don't even know that they're warriors until the symbol appears upon their body that indicates that they are one of the braves of the six flowers to basically become the saint again in order to wipe out this evil. So, the main character that we meet, which is kind of lanky looking, but wisecracking, smart-ass, flaming red, redhead named Ardlet, shows up as this big championship gladiator competition is going on in the main city. And the royal family's watching, as well as all of the city of these two main big well-known warriors going at it for the chance to fight the saint of the city in order to make a name for themselves and be crowned the hero of the whole thing. Ardlet interjects himself into the middle of it and says, "Hey, just so that you guys know, I am the strongest man in the world, and I'm going to take on these two guys, and I'm going to beat them both, and then I'm going to beat your saint so that I can become one of the Braves of the Six Flowers because I'm the strongest man in the world." And everyone's like, "No, you're not, no, you're not." And then he proceeds to whoop the ass of both of these two amazing generals, but not before they send in their lanky guys to be like, "Get rid of this clown," and he wipes out that entire infantry. And they're like, "All right, come on, dudes, I'm gonna kick your asses too." And mostly does before he's captured, and then gets thrown into prison, which is
because he was whooping that ass
and uninvited to the competition. So he basically gets thrown in a hole and spends like a month in the hole, counting the days, doing some workouts, and gets visited at one point on his way to being thrown into the prison hole by one of the maidens from the royal family, who is really kind of impressed with how he had the balls or the audacity to just straight up show up and like take on the people and stuff like that. And she's like, "I'm kind of your biggest fan." And so he shares some of his history of his trainer and all the things that he learned under him and why he says that he's the strongest man, because he absolutely wants to become one of these braves so that he can help people and all that kind of stuff. And it's his driving thing to do beyond all else. Turns out that this chick,
she's one of the flowers,
is not only one of the flowers, but is in fact that saint of the sword.
Oh.
And is the princess.
Oh, of course.
Of the land. So,
gotta have a princess, right?
You gotta have a princess. So, as Ardlet is sitting in his prison, doing his push-ups and stuff, you know, because you can't skip leg day, there's this overcast that happens, and all of a sudden, Symbol shows up I believe his is on his hand. I can't remember if it's on his hand or on his shoulder. I think his is on his hand. And he's like, all right, yeah, so there it is. That's unique. I guess the evil's back, and I guess I am one of the Braves. Right at that moment, the princess shows up and looks down. It's like, so I want to know what you intend to do. And he's like, I'm one of the Braves of the Six Flowers. I'm the strongest man on the planet. I intend to defend people. And she's like, all right, that's all I needed to hear. And so out of nowhere, she manifests swords.
Okay.
A la Sephiroth. Just like, woo, I got swords.
Angels, tell me news.
Cuts away the grate that is at the top of this big-ass hole that Ardlet's been in. And Ardlet jumps out, and she's like, all right, let's go. Puts him on the back of her horse, and then they ride off into the sunset. And everyone's like, no, no, you gotta wait. And then you hear somebody yell, princess, no! So Ardlet never knows that she's the princess as they leave the camp. Turns out she's never been outside of her city. So it's very much like Yona of the Dawn, where you have a princess who doesn't really know much about the world outside of the world that she's in. And now she's exposed to this guy who is very well traveled in the world, and they are now out to assemble the other Braves so they can take down the ultimate evil.
Huh, well then.
So it's definitely right up your alley. The action is very crisp, and so far the fights that I've seen are pretty good. And in the moments where there's not fighting, there's definitely some serious how to learn to be in the world that you're not of up to that point. So it works on a couple of levels, and I'm really, really enjoying it. So I recommend for new season, definitely checking out Roka, Braves of the Six Flowers. I think that it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be like Sword Art good. It has the potential.
All right.
It has the potential to be Sword Art good. So that's what I've been watching. That's what I have to bring to the show. I got nothing else for you other than to remind you to make sure that you check us out on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, for a bunch of really great content from all of the team on video games, anime, manga, vidcasts that we're doing. A crazy amount of stuff is happening over at our EGM page, so make sure that you check it out and subscribe. But always, always, always hit us up on our website, the home away from home, where you will always find us at electricsisterhood.com. Our podcasts, interviews, previews, all will be on electricsisterhood.com. So make sure that you've bookmarked our page, that you've checked out our feed, subscribe if you like, all that good stuff. Grab our podcast from a plethora of places, because everybody has their own favorites. But we are in iTunes. We are on Stitcher Radio. We are working on getting into Spotify, people. But pretty much type in to the web that you're looking for the Eshcast, and you will find us in any search engine and all major places where podcasts are found. So make sure that you're checking us out on your favorite flavor of podcast aggregator, because we're in there for sure, just like a ragu sauce. And if you're listening to us, make sure that you're listening to the other shows that are on our network, because man, oh man, there's some great talent within our crew. So you can listen to No Borders, No Race, which is got some amazing indie stuff, music, movies, television, entertainment. It is on and cracking at b3crew.com. So make sure that you're checking out No Borders, No Race, which is also in iTunes. It's awesome sauce. Make sure that you're grabbing that. And on Wednesdays, if you need beats for your feet, then make sure that you're checking out Geek Aggro. There's some great EDM, trap, and deep house mixes there. So make sure that you're picking them up. And let our boy Deuce as well know that you really like the mixes that he's putting together. And on Thursdays, boy, we're getting close to the last few times that we can say this, Panda. So
I know.
We better not mess it up. You've got issues,
he's got issues.
Y'all can have issues
together.
The Issues Guy Issues Program. Rebranding. That's right. Very soon, you'll be able to check out Recap This.
Recap That.
Recap That. But it's moving towards all recap shows, guys. And let me tell you, there's some really, really great ones. Game of Thrones, Walking Dead. If it's worth recapping and rehashing, then you're going to find it at Recap This, Recap That, which is right now currently found at theissuesprogram.com. So make sure that you're checking it out. Hosted and put together by a homeboy, The Issues Guy. Definitely, definitely want to make sure that that happened. And launched By the time you hear this podcast, people, the Structure Network is live. The Grid is live. Part of the Esh family. Make sure that you're checking it out. All kinds of great stuff. Gaming, entertainment, movies, wrestling, comics, music. Oh yeah, I said music because they got a house DJ, guys. Make sure that you're checking out the newly launched thestructurenetwork.com, YouTube and Twitch streaming, live play of games, like so much great stuff happening at the Structure Network. So proud to have them be part of family. So make sure that you check them out, structurenetwork.com. So with that, it's the time of the show where I turn to my sister and say, "Ayo, sis."
Yes.
What shit you digging this week?
Kitty cats.
Kitty cats are good. Kitty cats are good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a dog person, but I don't hate cats, so, you know.
You had cats growing up.
I had a cat. Yep. And you had a cat.
I've had several cats.
I know, but I'm talking like growing up. You had a cat. I had a cat. I have had many dogs.
Many dogs.
So I am a dog person. I like cats.
Woof woof.
But I am a dog person. So there's that.
Well, what shit are you digging this week?
I gotta go with the gaming community. You know, between the outpouring of love for Iwata and really just, you know, Extra Life's getting ready to pop off and a lot of people doing a lot of things for Extra Life to raise money and doing a lot of things for Operation Supply Drop in the summer. It's just, it's really cool to see the gaming community stepping up and giving back in so many different ways. So I'm fucking in love with the gaming community, man. I love you guys. So, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And with that, we're out until next week, guys.
Peace, bitches!